Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Scope.
And now, here are your hosts, Jared, Adam, and Shane.
Hello, everybody. It's The Scope, episode 287. Jared in the house. Adam is on sabbatical, taking care of babies and all sorts of stuff. So
that, man's got a life to live.
It's just the two of us. It reminds me way back in the day when I was a new father and none of the rest of the world mattered.
It consumed your life.
It absolutely consumed my life.
Related to that topic, we just watched a Wheezy Waiter video last night. He's a YouTuber.
Okay.
If you've not heard of him. And he's also a recent father. Mm-hmm. And he just did a whole video about why do people like to be parents? And he covered a lot of like negatives, like how it is consuming and all that stuff.
Yep.
But it kind of got into a bunch of interesting things about why people choose to do it as well. So,
and what was the one takeaway that you?
I don't know. I think it's the sort of thing you might assume, that it's fun to see a creature that you created like learn and begin to experience the world and discover new things and learn how to do stuff and say words and stuff like that.
And then they learn more words and start to realize they don't want to be around you,
right?
And everything you do is wrong, and you get many eye rolls and negativity.
Didn't get that far.
Yeah.
I will say it did not convince me, but
yeah,
it was an interesting argument to watch.
Genetic imperative, Jared. You must push on your genetic material.
That
to
was
the next
that was a factor in it.
We just don't
biological
know.
Need to procreate and push the species forward. But
yeah,
not everyone has that.
Not everybody.
Or people are able to reason their way out of it.
Yeah, and those are good folks. No doubt about it. Well, Adam is not here, as we said. Happy New Year, by the way, Jared.
New year, new we.
This is our first 2019 show we've done.
One of these days. I think next year is the year you finally go 2020. Not 2020, 2020. I think it's coming next year.
I think I'm going to say 2000. Yeah. Who knows what I'll say.
If there's a marked difference between the two of us, and I'm sure there are many, but if there is a singular one, it is that I have embraced the 20-year moniker far more than you have.
I can't do it. Jared, it feels so weird that we're talking about the year 2000 and beyond.
And yet we're almost...
Or 2000, as you would say.
We're in the 19th iteration. Well, yeah.
What do you call the year 2000, then?
I say 2000.
20,
I don't say 20-odd.
20-odd-odd?
No. You know what? For the first 9 years, I allowed it. 10 years, I guess, technically. 2000 through 2009... I think you can get away with it.
20, you didn't say 29?
No.
20-9?
It's not clear what you mean. You can say 29. You're like, what? 29 what? I don't get it. But once you hit 2010, I think 2010 becomes the norm.
Oh, my God. If only Adam were here to break the tie.
Adam would be on my side.
He's never on my side. There's no doubt about it. By the way, Adam doing well. I talked to him. Apparently, baby is sleeping through the night for the most part. I think even Adam's ferocious heart is tamed by this cute little thing. So that's good.
Good.
But as I was saying, this is the first show of the new year. What did we end up doing for New Year's? I totally forgot. Where were you? Yeah. What did you do?
We elected to stay home. And so we Angela and I went out to a dinner. We went to Blackbird in Minneapolis.
Blackbird?
Yeah.
What is that?
It's like a...
Give me a food description.
I don't know how you would describe it. It's like, you know, American cuisine, but it's like, you know, a little fancy.
Sure.
What did I get? I really wanted the short ribs, but by the time we got in there, apparently they had sold out of the short ribs for the day.
Very popular at the end of 2018.
I ended up getting the burger, and as I said to Angela, I said, I'm not mad at it.
You went and got a burger?
They have a really good burger.
Burger?
They have a very limited menu.
Okay.
Like, they have like 5 entree choices. It's a very select... things that do. But I got the burger. She got a salmon, which she enjoyed quite a bit, and we shared a side order of Brussels sprouts.
Wow. Did you have fries with your burger?
No.
You
could get fries if you wanted, but it's not part of the entree. You could have a bunch of sides you can pick out.
Interesting.
Yeah. And for dessert, we got a rice pudding with a lemon sorbet on it. It's a little bit of a trick, though. That rice pudding is not a sweet rice pudding.
Oh.
So if you're there for the rice pudding alone, you're going to be surprised and you're going to be disappointed. However, paired together,
sure,
it works.
Well,
so you got to get a little bit of the lemon sorbet, you got to eat a little bit of the rice pudding, and then it's a taste explosion.
For
it's
the
alchemy in your mouth.
For the record, I don't go anywhere for the rice pudding. Rice pudding seems like something an old person would eat.
Angela's a big fan of rice pudding, the classic sweet rice pudding. That is her favorite. So she was drawn into it and then was surprised, but also delighted in the end.
Surprised, not disappointed.
Yeah, not disappointed. It wasn't what she was expected, but she liked the results in the end.
So. She wouldn't kick it out of bed, as they say.
Exactly. So we did that, and then we came home, and we struggled to stay awake watching. We finally succumbed to the social pressure of the calming influence of the Great British Baking Show mm-hmm. on Netflix. Started it up with season one, episode one, whatever Netflix considers to be season one.
Yeah.
And I watched a couple episodes of that. Managed to switch over to the countdown in time to drink some champagne. And I think I was lights out by 1 a.m. and she was falling asleep on the couch before that.
So. Remember the days that were not that long ago, Jared, where we would have parties and be here till 3-4 in the morning sometimes?
Yep.
They seem like such distant memories, don't they? Now we're eating rice pudding and falling asleep by midnight.
Yeah.
Well, I went to a party that was inhabited by a lot of kids, so you probably would not have liked that. Although most of them are getting older and they're down in, they're in a different level of the house.
They're down there in the Fortnite zone.
Yeah. You know, they're slowly plotting their plans to replace us as human beings. You know, like, ooh, these old people, let's get them out of here and we're going to take over the world. So that's good. That's really what I've learned is that our time is fleeting and we had our moment, Jared. We did it.
They lack wisdom.
They do.
And I think us old people are still a little wilier than they are.
We are.
Can outthink them.
And we're not that old, so.
No. We've been there. We know the moves.
We're getting there.
We can sidestep. We're like Morpheus in The Matrix when Neo thinks he's a badass, but Morpheus is like, nah, I know a few tricks still.
I've seen this show before, buddy boy. New Year's resolutions, Jared, is there anything on the plate? I know that you've been full force trying to get your health to where you want it, physical strength, agility, dexterity.
Well, I don't know about the agility and dexterity part. sort of focusing on other portions of the fitness spectrum. No, I didn't do anything new for the new year because, I mean, the cliched one is everyone's like, oh, I want to get in shape. I want to lose weight. I want to eat better, blah, blah, blah. I started that journey last year.
Right.
And I started in fits and starts over the course since summer. I like where I'm at as far as my progress and what I'm doing. So I, you know, eating better, tracking what I eat, losing weight, doing strength training and a little bit of cardio here and there. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to keep doing that.
I like that.
Maybe switch things up occasionally if I get bored or if I'm not getting the results I want anymore. But no, I guess if I have a resolution, it's just to keep on keeping on, keep on trucking.
You know, I picture you in the gym, like lifting weights and like grunting and screaming loudly. But for whatever reason, I always see you in this big tan leather weight belt, you know, that goes around the weightlifters. I don't know. I just see you like really crushing it with this belt. Do you have one of those belts?
No, wait. I'm not doing like powerlifting. I'm not. That's
Could that ever come into your future?
No, I don't. I never see myself being powerlifting. I'm there for some, you know, modest strength gains. Well, I mean, anything above my, you know, my baseline of not having any strength.
Yeah.
Are you going to ever good?
Are you going to get to the point where you're going to try to do pull-ups? Because pull-ups, they always say, is in terms of strength, that is,
yes,
that's the barrier that a lot of people struggle with. I struggle with pull-ups.
Oh, absolutely.
So.
I'm definitely not there. I still struggle with push-ups.
Yeah.
It's tough. Part of it is just, you know, building strength is hard. And part of it is I'm still losing weight.
Right.
So there's just a lot of body weight to push around.
And it's not like you're 5'7" like me. You're a tall guy.
Yeah. I am.
It is. It makes a difference.
It
you
does.
Know?
I've noticed that too. I've seen people who just like are, you know, doing their weights and they're just pushing out these massive reps, and I'm like, gotta be nice to do that. And I look at them like, well, my arms are like 6 inches longer than yours. I just have more travel to go.
Yeah, it's
like
tougher.
It's harder. So, you know, you have to, everyone's different, and you have to, you know, just understand that what you can do is what you can do. Don't compare yourself to other people.
Yep.
Just focus on your own goals.
And we've lived a collective life where we never really went to the gym or stuff like that. So, yeah, I'm going to try this year as well to sort of get back into some sort of running or something. I've had some physical issues that happen every once in a while. Probably related to sitting and, you know, essentially sitting in your desk really can mess you up.
We have jobs where we're sitting all the time, and as a lot of people like to tell us, sitting is like a death sentence.
It is. It just
although the
just
science
cleave,
isn't solved on that. It's not all in, and people say that, you know, maybe it's not all that bad for you, but I think any sort of like standing all the time or sitting all the time is bad. So right. If you can mix it in somehow, I'm a little fidget monster at my desk, so I'm not really that concerned about the sitting because I'm never in one position for more than about 5 minutes.
I can't. So. I'm picturing you like rolling around in your cube, you know, sitting, rolling, sitting, standing,
pretty much
touching.
I don't have a standing desk, so I can't really stand, but yeah, I'm never in one position too long. So.
We have a standing desk in our office. Just one, and people can rotate in and out. But my problem is I've got a very specific setup, well, like with my monitors.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So for me to pick up and move over is difficult.
They've talked about updating our space, and this would be in concert with us actually maybe moving to a different place in the overall office area.
Mm-hmm.
But they've thought about, we'll get a couple of standing desks where people can just like grab their laptop and go there and like do email or something like that. You know?
Sure.
You're not going to have a full setup, but you can do there and, you know, switch things up.
So. Would you ever consider getting a standing desk in your house?
I don't think so.
Even like one where it's just a portable type one where you would sit it on your top of a regular desk?
I hate those.
Okay.
I don't like those.
They
at
look
all.
Weird, don't they?
They look weird. I think they function weird. They always have a keyboard tray in them.
Yeah.
Like, who uses a keyboard tray? Not this guy. I'm not a keyboard not tray kind of guy.
I'm going to write that. Jared, not a keyboard tray kind of guy.
I have my keyboard on the desk. It's, you know, it's elevated. Like, it's probably an ergonomic nightmare, and I don't care. I'm not a touch typist. So there you go. For someone who does a lot of web coding all day, you know, just not a touch typist.
You're killing yourself. That's what you're doing.
That's fine.
Well,
I'm surprised I don't have an RSI by now, but maybe it's all that fidgeting.
Fingers crossed, Jared. Fingers crossed. Well,
dream.
I love getting into old people speak at the beginning of this podcast because that's what our listeners are looking for. And you know the other thing they're looking for, Jared?
What's that?
A little football talk.
Oh, my.
So we are into the final stretch of the professional football season here in the United States of America.
Absolutely.
Full disclosure, we are recording two shows back-to-back. So in our football predictions today, we're going to cover the championship games of the NFC and the AFC.
Yep, which will have happened by the time this episode is out.
And then we also will cover our Super Bowl predictions.
Oh.
And we won't know in our next episode where things stand. So I apologize for that. Buckle up. That's the way it goes. So AFC and NFC, Jared, first of all, let's take a step back. Minnesota Vikings did not make it. They were
Didn't even make the show.
They were favored in some circles to make it to the Super Bowl even. But
as I am
telling you, Jared,
as seasoned Minnesota Vikings fans with decades of experience, we knew that those expectations were tenuous at best.
I am telling you, and you know this, and this is not just my perpetual football negativity. My perpetual football negativity. I said to you at the beginning of the season, once the Vikings schedule came out,
mm-hmm.
I said it is possible that this team could go 8-8, given who they have to play and where they have to play.
And where did they end up?
Right around there, correct?
I believe it was 8-7-1.
Right.
Yeah.
And they could have been 9-7. They could have been 8-8.
There are a couple of games in there that could have gone either way if they had just done things better, like maybe not miss three field goals.
Right. I mean, the Vikings.
Daniel Carlson. Bye.
Vikings could have made the playoffs, but they did not.
Nope.
Typically, they played a very difficult schedule, played a number of teams that made the playoffs.
As is often the case with the Vikings, down the stretch, when they've got to win to get in, they control their own fate. But as long as they win, they get in.
Yeah.
They don't manage.
In recent memory, it's never happened.
No. They either dominate and get in that way, or they manage to not win but still get help. It's the only way they get in.
Yeah. To control your own destiny is something the Vikings do not do well. It was a team that gambled that their offensive line from last year could do similar things this year. Incorrect. Last year you had a mobile quarterback that could get out of offensive line problems. And he also had the season of his life in Case Keenum. This year, the Vikings spent a lot of money to get a longtime quarterback in Kirk Cousins. Kurt, not as mobile, and the offensive line worse than last year. I just noticed a local grading out of the offensive line, all the major personnel, five being the best and one being the worst, and there was no one that was graded above a 3.
Hmm.
Most of the line was 1.5. That tells you how bad it was.
So a couple of factors there. I mean, you've got coaching changes, both expected and unexpected.
Mm-hmm.
Our offensive coordinator, Pat Shurmur, went off to become the head coach of the New York Giants.
Yep.
And then our offensive line coach, Tony Sperano, unexpectedly passed away
yep.
during training camp, which was just like a shocker. And I don't think they ever recovered from that. They never found the personnel to replace what he was able to do.
And I think they downplayed that, you know, if you think about the year like Corey Stringer died, which was it felt like it just deflated the entire season.
Yeah.
And it was prevalent. With the Tony Sperano situation, I feel like they just said, we're going to go on as business as usual, but it always seemed to be a specter over the team.
And from the way it's portrayed as like he was a coach that the players loved. And he was also a coach who was good at sort of communicating between other coaches, like facilitating compromise or whatever, making the coaching team work as a unit. And obviously that was missing. That component was missing because we had some coaching weirdness going on all season.
Yeah, we ended up losing our offensive coordinator, who was a former Eagles coordinator.
Quarterback coach, yep.
Quarterback coach. And he and Zim did not see eye to eye.
I don't know if it was just he wanted to do what he was going to do and didn't listen to Zim or what it was. Zim wanted to run more.
And this is the second time that's happened to Coach Zimmer, where he lost an offensive coordinator in the middle of the season 2 years ago, remember?
Who was that?
What was his name? I'm blanking.
I don't know.
But yes, it did happen.
You brought it up.
so then the question is this a head coach issue? And there was even talk after this poor season, Zim might be fired. I think that's ridiculous.
I believe that talk came from my Twitter account where I said the Zim watch begins.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that you need to give this team another year with this coaching staff before you even consider something like that. But hey, guess what? Vikings didn't make it. That's the end of the story. Packers didn't make it. That's the end of that story. The NFC North.
Oh, North Turner. That's
North
who
Turner,
it was.
Right. Yep. The NFC North team that did make it was the Bears, who had a pretty incredible season, and now they could be a powerhouse in this league.
I'm just looking at I just pulled up this page now. I'm looking at 2014, 7-9. 2015, 11-5. 2016, 8-8. 2017, 13-3. 2018, 8-7-1. So by that, it should be a good season next year.
We'll have to see
how it goes. If the trend continues.
But, so the Bears made it. They lost in the first round of the playoffs, and that gets us to what we actually want to talk about in this segment, NFC and AFC championship games, Jared.
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with the NFC game, which I believe is the first game on Sunday. We've got the Saints. We're playing in New Orleans, correct?
Correct.
Versus Jared,
the Los Angeles Rams.
Los Angeles Rams, high-powered team. That
Both teams were 13-3 in the season.
And everyone knows who's ever listened to this show that Jared and I hate the Saints.
Correct.
They are a cheaty. They are a bunch of cheaters, or at least their head coach is, who's a smug scumbag. We talked about the Minneapolis Miracle last season and how he was totally deflated.
Deflated.
defeated and deflated. But given how football goes, Jared, the Saints will win this game. Correct?
I mean, I'm not rooting for them, but I think that is pretty much going to happen.
Right. Yes. So the Saints are going to win this game, although I would love to see the Rams. And you know what? I wouldn't love to see the Rams because I've never been a huge fan of the Rams either, but they're an interesting team. They've got a young head coach.
It feels like a different Rams team. Like,
right.
It's not the same Rams team that was in St. Louis and had success.
We didn't really like the Kurt Warner years. So, hopefully it'll be an interesting game at the very least, but Jared and I are secretly hoping for a Saints loss that will not
absolutely
happen.
I mean, it'd be a lot of offense to see for sure, mm-hmm. unless those defenses really step up.
Yeah, and even when we say that, we don't really know. It may not be a lot of offense.
Yeah, it might. I mean, defenses, both teams have pretty good defenses too. So
we'll have to see how that goes. So then that leads into the AFC game.
Yeah.
We've got the perennial team.
New England Patriots.
New England Patriots.
Every year they're there.
They've won.
Yawn.
They've been in this game the last 8 years, I believe, the AFC Championship game.
Yeah.
And they're taking on.
Oh, good!
Thank
for you,
Jared. They're taking on the Kansas City Chiefs.
Correct.
Who last year
somehow never get brought up in the racist team name debate.
And they do like the tomahawk chop there as well.
Yeah.
But it never comes up. It's interesting. So the Chiefs last year were a team that seemed like they could go all the way, but they had a massive collapse.
Yeah.
And
they did. They ended up dealing their quarterback to the Washington team, also in the racist team name debate.
Yeah. Those are the only two teams that can trade with each other. So now you've got Mahomes as their hot new young quarterback who's been around a couple of years and does amazing things. But as much as Jared and I would like the Chiefs to win, the question is, will they? My feeling is no. I think the Patriots win this game.
They played earlier in the season, and it was a very close game. I expect it to be the same, but I do think the Chiefs will win.
Okay, good. So Jared's got Chiefs and Saints. I've got Patriots and Saints, which to me would be the worst of all possibilities. And
so far we're right on track with where the pundits are, because most pundits believe the Saints will win, and they're kind of split on the other games.
So. And so I'm going to, since you have the matchup that I'm more interested in, we'll start with mine. I just feel like it's going to be another boring year, and I think Tom Brady wins the Super Bowl. I think that the Saints lose to the Patriots. I don't know if it's a shootout, but the Patriots figure out a way to win, and we all snooze because who cares about the Patriots? I don't hate them as a team, but it's so boring.
You really think Patriots Saints that the Patriots are just gonna lock it down?
No, I don't think they're gonna lock it down, but I think they win the game.
Really?
I do. Is it
because Belichick doesn't like to lose back-to-back Super Bowls?
He hates losing back-to-back Super Bowls.
I mean, just imagine your coach that you have that to think about. I don't like to lose back-to-back Super Bowls.
I'm really going to put in my biggest effort here.
I would be happy to lose back-to-back Super Bowls.
Right.
Well, I wouldn't be happy, but that would mean you're going to Super Bowls.
Yeah, which most coaches do not make that. I just feel like it is going to be a boring year in football to wrap up the end of the playoffs and the Super Bowl, and that's what I think is going to happen.
Wow. Okay. Well,
I'm not excited about it.
I'm sitting here with a Chiefs-Saints Super Bowl, and I'm wondering who wins this shootout.
Okay. Well, you've got to tell because people are
wondering. It's tough. My heart says Chiefs, but my brain says Saints.
Ugh.
I know.
That would be the most disappointing.
That's tough. I mean, you've got just a veteran, experienced, high quality quarterback against a young, less experienced, high quality quarterback.
Yeah.
They both got just crazy offensive weapons and decent defenses. So, I want the Chiefs. Saints are going to win.
If Jared and I got our way, it would be Chiefs versus Rams in the Super Bowl, and we would pick the Chiefs to win.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Or we would want the Chiefs to win.
Chiefs-Rams?
Yes.
Why?
Because the Chiefs haven't won the Super Bowl in forever.
Yeah, but neither have the Rams, really. What was it, 2002?
But the Chiefs are way further back than that.
I know, they're like 70s.
Yeah.
What, did they beat the Vikings?
They did beat the Vikings in a game they were not picked to win.
I hate them. No.
So we'll have to see how that goes, but no matter what the outcome is, Jared and I probably aren't going to be happy if it's the Saints winning or the Patriots winning.
Yeah, probably not.
Not going to be the second one.
Boring.
Boring. We watch for the love of the game.
Yeah.
And you know what? People listen to this show for the love of the cast. And this time around, Jared, you and I are doing the classic Nerd Roundtable. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about.
I can't wait to find out because I don't have any idea what topics you've brought up.
I have kept Jared in the dark. So
you're just going to make me think on my feet.
Let's do this. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back with Nerd Roundtable and more of The Scope, episode 287. Right after this.
Folks, we made a lot of NFL predictions, and I know that's one of the key things you come to this show for. So, if you want to hear more of that next year, later in the year, but not, coming up after this. Go to patreon.com/thescopeshow. You can pledge as little as $1 per episode, set a monthly cap, cancel any time. Join the literal handful of people supporting us directly with your small little contributions. patreon.com/thescopeshow.
And we are back, episode 287, Nerd Roundtable Edition. It's the duo, Jared and Shane.
Hello.
No Adam, but he's here in spirit. So I don't know if it's a round table or maybe it's one long, narrow table that we're staring
at. It's like a nerd side table.
You're right.
Just there. You got an alarm clock, maybe a glass of water, set your phone down.
See, I picture it like as a rich person's table, a long table. We're eating dinner. There's some candelabras there.
And there's like an intercom system. Yeah. So I go, please pass the salt.
And then I'll cut back to you. There's no salt to have. In this house, food is properly seasoned. You should not need salt. We're rich.
Theater of the mind, kids.
We've got some good nerd roundtable topics. Jared is in the dark, as we teased earlier in the show, so let's get to it.
I'm going to put myself literally in the dark.
And he's turning his light off. I don't like that.
I'm illuminated by my monitor.
Oh, my goodness, Jared. So, topic number one, Mr. J, best shows of 2018. Let's look back.
Ooh.
What shows strike you as being the top of the top, the cream of the crop, the shows you'd shop?
Wow. Hey.
Shows that don't plop.
Now you're making me remember things.
Okay, so I will start it off since I've actually given this a little bit of thought. I've got a pretty decent list here.
Yeah.
Let's start with a show that was a miniseries on HBO. It's Sharp Objects. Amy Adams, based on the Gillian Flynn book of the same name.
The Gone Girl.
Gone Girl author. I thought this was moody, dark, not always 100% successful, but I absolutely adored it. To me, it just goes to show that Amy Adams is one of the best working actresses today.
I like the show. I don't know if I qualify it as one of the best of 2018 for me. I'm sure it's on a lot of people's lists.
It should be.
But it's cinematically, it's really, really clever, because this thing is, boy, this is a show you got to pay attention to, mm-hmm. for sure. I mean, because it's the edit is jumping through time. You're seeing things in the present that maybe are actually a mixture of the present and the past. Mm-hmm. And if you don't see all this stuff, you're going to miss a lot of clues.
Yep.
Are they doing another season of this?
Not on this one. The other one with Reese Witherspoon. That's the other show that I'm blanking on right now.
I thought they were doing another Sharp Objects.
Really?
Is that story done? I don't know. Anyway.
I don't know. I thought that they said they weren't going to, but who knows?
Yeah, who knows?
People say a lot of things in the heat of the moment, Jared. So that's my first show. Why don't you throw a show over to me now?
I'm going to throw another one out there that I actually ignored when it first came on, because I just wasn't like, you know, given how our country is, this show just sort of made, my first glance, I thought this was like, oh, this is a bunch of rich kids trying to figure out how to get richer. Mm-hmm. Blah, blah, blah. Boring. I'm not interested. Hard pass. And then it started hitting a lot of best of lists at the end of the year. I'm like, well, maybe I should give it another look. And I did, and I freaking loved it. I binged the whole entire first season in one weekend.
Interesting.
And I am super excited for the next season. And that show is Succession on HBO. We're both doing HBO shows
right
here. There might be more to come. Who knows? But the central premise of the show is that Brian Cox is the patriarch of the family. He runs this big media company. Mm-hmm. He's got several children, one of which might be in line to be the CEO. And he has a bit of a health crisis right at the beginning of the season. And this sort of sets in motion various power plays within the family on like who's going to control what and blah, blah, blah. You've got a daughter who's actually working as a political consultant who also factors into it. Kieran Culkin's in it. He's really good.
Hmm.
It's interesting. It wasn't exactly the story I was expecting. But it's also very character driven, and there's Brian Cox, and altogether this just was a really addicting show. The way it ended, I'm so excited for season two. It's amazing.
Okay, it's on my list. A show that will make both of our lists, I'm quite confident, is the final season of The Americans.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that it was balls to the wall action all the time, but the last few episodes gave you a proper payoff for what this show would be, and it stayed true to what it was, which is a slow burn with a lot of a lot of deep thought about how people can live and be family in a strange world, and especially in a world where you don't necessarily agree with the overall prevailing politics and the lifestyles.
Yeah.
You know, meaning these two Russian spies and their Americanized kids. Yeah. I think that it had an ending that was true to what the show was.
Yeah. It wasn't a neat tidy bow, but it was a little messy.
Right.
A little.
And you've got the the CIA is the neighbor CIA or FBI?
FBI has always had their counterintelligence mandate. Come on.
You had a respectable payoff for that, and some questions that were left wide open that we will never know the answer to. Nope. So the Americans, and also the Americans finally getting the props that it deserves in the awards world.
Yeah, I mean, this show has been strong for every year it's been on.
And I'm sure there's been stronger seasons than the final season, if you want to know the truth. I think that the season prior to this was not the strongest, but seasons before that were superb.
The season before it was good, but you also were very aware of them sort of setting up for the end game. Yeah. And that maybe brought it down a little bit.
Right. So I picked The Americans. What else you got, Jared?
God, I mean, I have a whole bunch of great shows. I'm trying to think. Like, I almost feel like we need to do a couple good ones and then just have like a lightning round of all the other shows that we really
Give me
enjoyed.
One more, and then we'll just give a list.
One more that I really, really liked. I'm going to go with actually a double bill, and I've talked about this with you before. It's a 1-2 punch of stars shows. One is Outlander. Mm-hmm. Outlander's been on for several seasons now, but for whatever reason, this season has really felt good to me. Like, it's always been a good show. This one was really exceptional. Like, our main characters have now moved from Europe into colonial America, which is just an interesting change of setting. It's been really good. Great performances, a lot of drama. I like it. And the other one is Counterpart. It just started season 2. And this is a show where it's got J.K. Simmons in it, who's amazing. And it's about there being sort of like two parallel Earths. And most of the action takes place in Berlin. And it's sort of this weird, I don't know if it's present day or future or whatever, but it's like there's this alternate Earth where things went badly. There was like a disease that broke out, and it sort of stymied their growth. And their technological advancement isn't as much as our Earth. And it's just a lot of like cloak and dagger stuff. Like,
oh, interesting.
Yeah, it's
sounds like something I would like.
A bunch of stuff went down in season 1 that sort of caused the crossing to be shut down, like not like physically shut down, but just like the powers that be are not allowing people to cross.
Mm-hmm.
In season 2, and that's caused a lot of tension. It's just a really, really interesting
Pay attention sci-fi to that show,
drama espionage type show.
And that's called again?
Counterpart.
Counterpart.
Right. Because there's usually a counterpart of the people. There's one from each side.
Gotcha.
And they have different characteristics.
Sounds like a bit like Fringe or something like that, Jared.
Sure, a show I never watched.
You never watched Fringe?
I watched half the first season, couldn't take it, and dropped out. And I hear, yeah.
Once you get past that first season, that show is bananas good.
Yep.
Other shows that we could talk about, I think that we could talk about The Good Place. I don't think that the full season that we've seen so far in 2018 is as good as the last few episodes of the prior season that we saw in 2018, but it's still a smart, funny, touching, full of heart show.
It's a little different now that they've switched the location of it.
Yeah.
Like, they're not actually in one place anymore. They've been kind of moving around depending on where the story needs to take them. So that's a little different.
Yes.
But it's still very good.
Still very good. So let's talk about another show, Atlanta. The last season of Atlanta was...
What a risk-taking season this was. And this is season 2, right?
Right. Season 2, people thought that, man, they can't keep pace with what they did with season 1, but they did. They had some fantastic episodes that were all over the place.
Yeah.
It's hard to explain.
It is, because season 2 is very... It's not really non-linear. It almost felt... like an anthology.
Yeah, that's like a perfect description.
It's like there is some through lines through it, but every episode is kind of its own thing.
Right. It's really own thing, to quote David S. Pumpkins.
What was the character? The Michael Jackson-like character?
Oh, my
Teddy
God.
Something?
Yes, Teddy something, where we had Mr. Glover dressed up as this introverted, homebound Michael Jackson-type character, and it turned into a... almost like a horror movie, if you want to know the truth.
Really crazy.
Fantastic. So give me a couple more shows, Jared.
I'm looking at this Best of article, and I was reminded we had a second season of Glow this year.
Oh, yes. Glow,
which
fantastic.
Which was very good.
Right.
I don't think
Netflix
was
doing well, I think.
Yeah, I don't think Glow was as good as season 2 wasn't as good as season 1. Part of it is because they spent a good chunk of the season keeping two of our main characters at odds with each other.
Yep.
And it wasn't as fun until they sort of worked that drama out.
Yep.
And then it got better, and it set them up for a good season 3.
Yeah, they're gonna have to figure out in season 3 how they redefine that relationship, because you can't just have them be angry at each other. I know that that's part of the interest, but It's been done in other shows where you can have these headstrong characters figure out a different path.
Mm-hmm.
What about Miss Maisel, that show?
Absolutely.
I just finished up season two last night.
Did you?
Yes.
Ah, she's going on tour. And, sorry, spoilers.
And I loved that show.
Oh,
loved
so
it.
Good. Just the, yeah.
A female comedian in the late 50s, right? That's the story?
Yes,
New
correct.
York City.
Yep.
And, you know,
and that, you know what? That was the pitch. And I, for whatever reason, that pitch didn't land on me. And then there's just so much buzz about the show. I finally relented. I think season one came out in, what, 2017, probably?
Somewhere in there.
And
yeah.
I didn't watch until last year. And, yeah, I just, from the first episode, I'm like, well, okay, now I see what people are talking about. And I just buzzed right through it.
Can't wait to see what they do with season three.
Absolutely.
What else?
What else? I'm trying to think here. What else? I mean, there's so much good TV on right now. We had a season one of Barry on HBO.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Totally forgot about that one,
exactly.
Which would be in my top five shows of the year.
So weird,
yep.
But just so good every time.
Bill Hader, yep. Henry Winkler. And the show that I talked about a lot, this will be the last show I'll mention, which is another star show, which was the documentary America to Us, following the story of a suburban Chicago high school, integrated high school, and the kids within that school. An important show that I think most people would really learn a lot from.
And I'll end it with, we had the latest season of Better Call Saul. As a big fan of the Breaking Bad Saul world, just more of that is always good to me. It's such a great show, and it's just like cinematically, it's just really well done. And our character is finally getting closer and closer to where he is in Breaking Bad. So it does make me wonder how much life the show does have left in it. Like, how long is it going to go? Because he is sort of getting closer to that. But yeah, it's just, I love that show. I look
good
forward to it every week.
All right, I'm going to give you our next topic, Jared.
Okay.
This is going to be a thematic thing, which will... essentially, we'll have a number of questions like this, but we'll start with Disney Plus coming. It's coming in 2019. Which shows are you looking forward to more, The Mandalorian or the Marvel Cinematic Universe spinoff? So we know that there's a Loki. We have heard that there will be a Scarlet Witch.
Mm-hmm.
Is there another?
There is a, I don't know if they have a name for it, but there's the Falcon and Winter Soldier team-up show.
Okay. So of these new TV products, which one are you most interested in seeing?
Mandalorian.
By far. That's John Favreau?
Correct.
Who else is in this? We got famous people in this show.
A lot of people who are in this show. Towards the end of the year, they started dribbling out the cast.
And then I think they finally announced pretty much everybody on the cast.
That's here. Pedro Pascal, you know him as... from Game of Thrones.
Yeah. We call him Squishhead.
You also may know him from the Narcos series on Netflix, which I'm a big fan of. I totally forgot about Narcos Mexico. It's another show I like.
It's too much, Jared.
Oh, goodness. So much TV. What a great time to be alive.
What else?
Let's see.
Who else? Nick Nolte. Isn't he not in this film?
Sure. Why am I not seeing the cast on this? See full cast. Thank you, IMDb. Gina Carano, Giancarlo Esposito, also from Better Call Saul, great stuff. Werner Herzog, Nick Nolte, Carl Weathers is in it,
and they are filming as we speak, so this is going to be exciting. You've also got the Rogue One character, what's his name, spinoff of his pre Rogue One.
Yeah, it's Diego Luna.
Right,
was his name?
Totally, I can't even remember.
Cassian Andor.
So that'll be there. So What about the Marvel Cinematic Universe spin-off shows? Which one of those are you most interested in seeing?
Because
there's a bit of a pause, right? Because we're hearing rumors with the Loki show that you may not even get. Is it Tom Hiddleston?
Really? I thought he was locked in.
That he may not be in the show very much. That it might be like a young Loki type of show. That he may bookend it, but he may not really star in this show.
This is why I'm very cautious about these Marvel shows, because we just don't know what they're going for.
Like,
how does it fit in?
Are any of these movie stars really going to want to be in a show?
Yeah.
That's the question.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's too many open-ended situations with this. So.
I do feel a little bit burned by the Netflix Marvel shows sort of having mixed quality, but also all getting the axe. I haven't seen if there's been any announcement yet that Punisher is canceled. I'm expecting it any moment now,
right,
because season two just dropped. So I'm expecting that announcement. But
Will any of those Marvel characters and the actors that play them make it into the Marvel Cinematic Universe at the end of the day? Or is it just going to be a failed experiment?
I mean, they are. They are officially part of the MCU.
And they will not be able to do any more of these shows on non-Netflix platform for 2 years. That is the...
Which, sure, whatever. That's fine.
So maybe they bring them back and they lighten them up a little bit. Who knows?
Yeah. I mean, that's the rub, is these shows are all very dark and very violent.
You're not going to see these shows as they are in Disney Plus, are you?
No, definitely not.
Right.
So let's get back to the question itself, though. Of these shows that have been announced, which are you most excited for? I would probably say the Vision and Scarlet Witch show.
Just to see what...
Yeah. Like, that's an established relationship in the comics, and you get a little bit of it in the movies, but I think that you could do more with that.
Out of all three of these shows, to me, they are the least developed and most least interesting characters of the stars of these. And so I would like to see them be done correctly and give justice to who they are and their comic book history.
Yeah. So, and again, it's interesting though that these film level stars are going to do a TV show.
Yeah. Yeah. I
mean that there's, I get it. We're in a different era where doing boutique television is still cool.
Yeah.
And for film stars, we'll do it. That's fine. But
I'll believe it when I see it. Yeah. That's how I feel.
I just don't know how these shows are going to position themselves, and so I'm very wary of them at this point. Whereas the Star Wars stuff always just feels like, you can do a one-off Star Wars show that isn't directly connected to anything, and it's fine.
Right.
But you're doing shows, Marvel shows now, with main characters that we've seen in these movies, so these shows are necessarily going to be connected to the main storyline thread, probably.
They have to be, yeah.
So, I don't know. Don't know how it's going to work out.
They may not even have any of these shows because all these people were killed in the Avengers movie.
Absolutely.
So it's just going to be a
big head fake.
It'll be 4 hours of nothing. Rank these Marvel movies in order of anticipation, Jared. Captain Marvel, the new Spider-Man, the new Avengers. Obviously, Avengers is the most anticipated.
Yeah.
So really the question is Captain Marvel versus Spider-Man. We've seen pretty robust trailers for both.
Mm-hmm.
Which trailer, either the new Spider-Man or the Captain Marvel stuff, is most interesting to you right now?
Pre-release of Spider-Man trailer, I would have instantly said I'm looking forward to Captain Marvel more than Spider-Man. Post-trailer, it's a tighter race.
Yeah.
And that was a very strong Spider-Man Far From Home trailer, and I think it edges out Captain Marvel just a little bit. And it might also be a factor of time, because, I mean, Captain Marvel is coming out in just over a month.
Right.
So we don't have that far to wait. You know, we got a lot longer to wait for Spider-Man.
I have to say, you know, me personally, neither Captain Marvel nor the Spider-Man trailer was something that I just crap my pants over, to be honest with you. I mean, they're pretty equal. But, you know, I'm a bit more interested in Captain Marvel in the sense that hopefully this is going to be that fantastic bridge to the new Avengers movie.
Right. And the next phase of Marvel movies.
Yeah.
Because
that's
the Skrulls.
Right.
I mean, that just, who knows what that means for the MCU.
I think that you and I are both excited for this next phase because anything could happen. You could have the Fantastic Four. You could have the X-Men. No matter what Paul Feige is saying publicly, they're thinking about X-Men now. They are thinking about Fantastic Four now.
Yep.
And it will come by the end of this next phase. That is my prediction.
I agree with you that the Captain Marvel trailers have been good but not spectacular.
Yeah.
And I do have concerns that is an indicator of how the film will be.
Yeah, that does worry me.
I don't know. I'm excited for the film. I want to like it. And I'm not getting anything from the trailer that makes me go, super excited.
And we
for
felt
this.
That way about the Ant-Man movies as well.
True.
So
I think
we'll temper it. Even the trailers for Black Panther, I was not crapping my pants with excitement.
That's fair.
But they definitely.
That film definitely delivered.
And we're also a bit jaded.
That could be
at this
too.
Point, you know, but we give Marvel the benefit of the doubt.
I think I'm more excited about the Spider-Man Far From Home trailer than you are. I thought it was spectacular.
So
I've probably watched it about 4 or 5 times.
Well, I've watched it twice.
I think it's great.
Okay.
I'm super excited about Mysterio. Like, I'm happy that they didn't temper his costume down. Like, he's got a cape.
He
looks flamboyant. I love it.
They're giving Mysterio a big head fake in the trailer, and it's silly to me. Mysterio's not going to be a good guy.
You never know.
Not going to be a good guy.
Okay.
That's what I say. Jared, speaking of ranking, which of these shows are you more excited to see in 2019? Game of Thrones, Stranger Things?
Game of Thrones, only because it's the final season. Yeah.
As my coworker says, Game of Thorns.
Thorns.
But yes.
And the promise of like every episode is like a movie unto itself.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy, but I am really excited about Stranger Things. As everyone knows, that I delayed releasing that show until this summer so we could get the best possible show possible.
Right, and then you're releasing it on the weekend. I can't watch it because I'll be at Convergence.
Yes.
Thanks a lot, Netflix.
I know. Well, I mean, I had to spite my family, and now I'm spiting you one-to-one. That's a very deep cut.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Finally, Jared, when will we see a trailer for the next Star Wars film?
I mean, there was rumors we might see it this week, but we kind of hear those rumors every week. So, Super Bowl? Are you thinking they're going to wait until Star Wars Celebration?
What? When is that?
That's not till like March or April, which I think is way too late.
I feel there is a very good chance we don't see a trailer for this until after the Avengers movie is released or connected to the Avengers movie.
Really?
Yep.
That's just shocking to me. And I get that you don't like... So Star Wars Celebration is April. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I get that. I don't think there's a lot of merit to the whole argument that the Solo failed because they didn't market it enough. I think that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I don't buy into them like if they didn't push out a trailer until late April that's affecting
Solo would have been much more successful if they would have released in the wintertime.
Right.
Everybody knows
and if
it.
And it didn't have any of the behind-the-scenes drama, yep, which it did have, so...
Yeah, I mean, Celebration does come before the Avengers movie. I think that Celebration is the most logical release for a trailer.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that they could actually wait until the hubbub of the Avengers is over, and then they blast you with big...
But are they necessarily exclusive of each other? Not really.
I just think that, that Disney is trying to figure out how to give both of these different franchises their own space.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
I mean,
I'm probably
I don't know.
I'm probably wrong.
I just feel like Avengers.
I
feel like Avengers Endgame. It could have no trailers and it would be bonkers.
Sure,
that's just.
I'm just talking about building maximum excitement.
Okay,
just like what we have in the show. So we did it, Jared. Nerd Roundtable completed.
I'm trying to see what network has the Super Bowl this year.
I don't know.
Why can't I find that?
Is it ABC?
If it is ABC, then you're going to see you're going to see a Star Wars trailer for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Where is the stupid give me schedule? Postseason schedule. Come on. This shouldn't be that hard to find. It's on CBS.
CBS. So,
maybe not.
Yeah. There's no guarantee.
If it was ABC, I'd guarantee it. You'd see them.
No guarantees. Well, we'll have to see, Jared. We'll have to see. So, Nerd Roundtable is done for episode 287. We made it through okay without Adam. It's okay.
We have opinions on things.
We do.
Yeah, we talk about our favorite pop culture topics.
That's what we do.
What's going to go wrong?
Well, yeah. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back with coming soon, right after this.
The way you said it, I thought more was coming.
Yeah, sorry. No more coming.
Okay.
Continue.
Ladies and gentlemen, I give you the scope.
Under the scope.
It is Under the Scope, and the only part of Under the Scope we're bringing you today is coming soon. All right.
It's amazing how subtle the English language can be.
I know.
Just a little inflection could indicate
it's either
over or there's more to come.
Can I be honest with you?
Sure.
It was sort of like a moment where I said, allow myself to introduce myself. Like I was going somewhere and I lost it. And that's the way it is.
That's fine.
Too bad. I'm my own man and no one's going to stop me. Coming soon, music for January 25th. Guess what, Jared? Things are being released again. It wasn't the... Uh-oh.
What? What's wrong?
Got some home issues, but we'll come back to that.
Surprise.
For music. Woof, I'm totally stunned. Music January 25th, Backstreet Boys, DNA, Meghan Trainor, Treat Myself.
Is that new Backstreet Boys?
Yes, they got a big tour coming up, so
wow.
Let's do that. A band or a guy named Rat Boy, which I heard this song internationally unknown, and that's coming the 25th of January. The Dandy Warhols. Swerve Driver,
wow.
Kid Koala, music.
There's a lot of
music
like, throwback acts coming out with new stuff.
I know. For movies, on January 25th, we've got The Kid Who Would Be King and Serenity.
That's not the Serenity you might think.
No.
And Homer, I forget what it's about.
It is. Is it Matthew McConaughey?
Yeah,
and
that's right. It's not getting great reviews.
No. And for home release, we've got Cobra Collector's Edition, First Man, The Hate U Give.
And Cobra, that's the Stallone
that's
movie,
and
right?
Stallone, yes. First Man being the
moon landing
stuff.
One, yep. Ryan Gosling. Nothing but Canadians and English people in that film starring as Americans.
Right. And for video games, we've got Resident Evil 2 Remake.
Remake? What does that mean?
So, yes, a lot of remakes on Resident Evil, and Capcom is bringing Resident Evil 2 to us. I've seen some screenshots of it. Looks kind of interesting. I don't know if I would have interest in playing.
What systems is it?
I think it's Xbox One, PS4.
Okay.
But guess what, guys? We have one addition to this. It's a little thing we call Hit It or Miss It.
Hit it or miss it. Hit of the week. Hit it or miss it. Miss of the week. Look out!
All right. This is the moment when we tell you something to check out or something to avoid. And this time around, it's all on Jared.
Yes, I'm picking a hit, and it is the collector's edition home release of a little comedy from the late 80s? Mid-80s?
Yep.
I don't remember when it came out. Dirty Rotten Scoundrels. You might go, what? Yes, I'm picking Dirty Rotten Scoundrels because this is one of my all-time favorite comedies. Even though when I saw it theatrically, I hated this movie.
You didn't
like
it?
I don't know why. I just hated it. But I've since seen it, and I respect it for the high-quality comedy that it is. This film stars Steve Martin and Michael Caine as grifters trying to swindle money out of a rich woman. Yeah.
Mm.
This collector's edition features a mastered from a brand-new 2K scan of the film. It's got an interview with writer Dale Lawner and audio commentary with director Frank Oz.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I know my wife loves this movie. I've seen it. It is a classic, and it's absolutely something we should check out.
It's a lot of quotable lines in there, and definitely. I don't know if this is coming on like iTunes and stuff like that, too. It might be. I'll have to look at that. Have you ever heard of Shout Select?
Yes.
Shout Factory?
Shout Factory. They were known for doing a lot of TV shows, a lot of animation.
Yeah.
And now they've sort of branched out into some other movies as well.
Interesting that they have the rights to release this film.
Well, there it is.
All right.
Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, Collector's Edition.
Under the scope.
All right, Jared, here we go. Wrap this sucker up.
A little hydration here. Folks, it is the end of the show. It's the time where we touch base with you, the listener, and we ask you, how you doing? Is 2018 a little rough?
Yeah.
2019 starting off a little rough?
So far, yes. It's a little soggy.
Just let you know. We're there for you.
Thank you.
To listen. I don't know if we can actually do anything, but if you got something to say, hit us up on the email, comments@thescopeshow.com. Hit our voicemail line at 612-21-SCOPE. That is 612-217-2673. Just throw out all those pizza delivery chain phone numbers. Put in our number. And when you get a little hungry for a slice, call up the Scope line.
I love it.
You can also reach out on social media. Those links are on our website, Facebook and Twitter. All at thescopeshow.com. And if you want to support the show directly, as we said earlier, patreon.com/thescopeshow. If you haven't heard of Patreon, it's the service where you can support content creators directly. You can pledge as little as $1 a month, set a monthly cap, cancel anytime. Just let them know you care. Let us know you care.
Right.
That you want to see more quality content on the regular from your Scope hosts.
I love it.
Or at least 2/3 of your Scope hosts. That third one, I mean, that's just bonus when he shows
exactly.
up.
Exactly. That's when the show is really hitting
That's
all
like
cylinders.
Getting sparkles on your cupcake.
I do
or
love
sprinkles.
I do love both sprinkles and sparkles.
Or if you're shopping at Amazon, go to thescopeshow.com/Amazon. Click that affiliate link, and a little bit of your purchase goes into our pockets. Doesn't
Perfect.
Cost you any more. I like that alliteration. You threw it right there.
You
in
did
the
it.
End.
You did it.
Back to you.
Thank you very much, Jared. Well, thank you for the show. Thank you to our fans for listening. We talked a lot about pop culture.
This podcast also brought to you by Squarespace. No.
And we'll be back hopefully
soon. And by HelloFresh.
All of our favorites. Come on, guys. We need to know how you make a website. We need to know how you get pre-made food, baby.
Right.
Love it. Well, Jared, thank you very much. We'll be back hopefully in a week with another episode of your
favorite
podcast.
We'll see how things turn out.
Yep. Until then, everybody, bye for now.
Ladies and gentlemen, we find ourselves once again at the end. I hope you've enjoyed our time together. I know I have.
Fear not, Scope faithful. Days shall pass as if they were but a moment. And Jared, Adam, and Shane will return with another thrilling episode. Until then, send your comments to comments@thescopeshow.com or leave a voicemail message by dialing
612-21-SCOPE. That's 612-217-2673.
Thanks for listening, faithful fans. This is Tony Partington saying...
Buenos aires!
Tune in next time to another terrific edition of The Scope.